Hey, Trojan fans, it's time to get into the huddle with the Peristyle Podcast. The Peristyle Podcast is your weekly ticket to USC football and recruiting news. Don't forget, you can download the podcast 24/7 at our new website, peristylepodcast.com. And now, here's the host of the Peristyle Podcast, USCFootball.com publisher, Ryan Abraham.
Hello and welcome to a very special edition of the Peristyle Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Abraham, and we are joined today by super guru of the recruiting world, Lanny Julius. He knows all about USC recruiting and scouting. We're going to talk to Lanny Julius today in this very special edition of the Peristyle Podcast, a Trojan Blast Peristyle Podcast with Lanny Julius. Lanny's here, right here in the studio. What's up, Lanny? How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Happy to be here.
Well, thanks for coming, Lanny. And if you guys want to check him out, you can go to LannyJulius.com or follow him on Twitter at LannyJulius. You spell that LannyJulius. So you can go to LannyJulius.com or follow him on Twitter, LannyJulius, now at LannyJulius on Twitter. I can't believe you got a Twitter account now, Lanny.
Yeah, I'm getting modern.
modern it all up. That's okay. Well, we wanted to talk. We've got a lot of email requests and people on Twitter saying, when's Lanny going to be on the podcast? The signing day was a few weeks ago. Actually, last month. It was almost a month ago. They want to know what Lanny thinks about this crop of USC Trojans coming in, the first sanctioned year of scholarship players coming in for the recruiting class. So we want to get your thoughts on that, but also some of the other thoughts about some of the guys that you talked about before. Maybe we can kind of get started with that before we get into the recruiting class.
Okay, fine. I remember a lot of things are written on Ryan's network and about the players. I remember 4 or 5 years ago when he was a junior actually mentioning McNeil, the running back. He was most people sort of thought he'd be at the bottom of the end of the class, and for the first 2 years he struggled. But if you dip into what I had said about him, that he was just not another guy. He's very, very special. So I was really happy to see him turn out the way he's playing. And he's got a lot of Sundays ahead of him if he keeps going in football. And a big addition. And then, you know, I remember when I talked about Jeff Schweiger, that he just wasn't very good. And I remember I had some repercussions on that and the fact that, you know, he couldn't take on a double team. And he moved away and went to San Jose, and that doesn't make you take on a double team. He ended up being moved to linebacker, and then I was never very high on Moody after watching a lot of tape on him, and actually in one of those games on TV from Texas, and he thought moving 3,000 miles to Florida would make him faster. It never does. And then some of the other guys I loved, and even though he's out of the NFL for this year, Ellison at the bottom of the line, he wasn't a high-end recruit. And if he gets straightened out, I think he'll be a great player. I've always mentioned Khalil. I always thought I rated him as a 4-star. And look what's happened to him. He's a 5.5-star, and he's just a super guy and a super player. But I'll still maintain if he's going to be the best tackle ever in the NFL, which he might be someday, he'd still be the best guard ever. Because he's a guy that could actually have played all four inside positions and maybe even center. So I remember a lot of that. I remember having dinner with an SC guy the day before I wrote a SC recruiting story and told him Antoine Perez was not a very good football player. And he said, well, what do you mean? I mean, he's all this and all that, and he'll be all this and gone. And he was gone in a year. He just went to Maryland, where he ended up being a career backup as a linebacker. I always remember what I say, and I always admit to what I'm wrong with, and it's not much. So, in terms of recruiting, but I'd like to get on with this and bring up some of the guys right now on the team. You know, Lee, you know, from Sarah,
Marquise Lee
is as good an athlete as there is in all of football, and maybe all of sports. And a lot of it's because, you know, the great basketball player in high school who really wanted to be a basketball player instead of a football player, and was coached in the Little League by George Farmer Jr.'s dad, and would tell me about him for years. And I coached George Farmer in college, senior. And, you know, Lee, as it came out, he just loves track. And, you know, his track coaches feel that, and I always felt, even when he was a junior, that he'd be a world-class track athlete in the triple jump or long jump if he just concentrated on that. He'd be a multimillionaire. Some of the other guys that have develop, and I'm not so fast. I'm looking forward to seeing Jason Pomi. I remember watching him high hurdle in three different games over would-be tacklers moving up from the cornerback spot. You're going to see an athlete, and word has it that he's going to be tried on both sides of the ball. And then some of the other guys I'm looking forward to watch him play is Blackwell, who's had better than average speed, redshirted last year as a wide receiver. And then to see what Garness is all about. It would be a critical thing if he could be in that 8 or 9 man front rotation on the offensive line, or at least ready to play. You know, he redshirted last year. That's a critical thing. And, you know, there's three or four other guys in there that Vanuco, Buck Allen, the greatest name ever right now. Reminds me of there was a Buck Allen who was on old television, and he was like a space cadet, like a real cadet driving rocket ships. So I'm dying to see this guy. And Vanuco. And so the spring's going to be exciting, and, you know, maybe it's not exciting to a lot of fans getting 80,000 people in the Coliseum, but I've always maintained that spring practice is sort of a waste of time, I think. And a lot of people don't agree with that, but my thought on that always is to practice one extra week in the fall, like in the March thing, play one extra game, make a lot of money so Nebraska and Alabama don't have to brag about 92,000 people watching nothing.
Very good stuff, Lanny. Before we jump into this 2012 recruiting class, maybe get your thoughts on Dylan Baxter, who was just released by San Diego State. You know, obviously, it only been there a few months and didn't go so well for him down there.
Remember, I half ripped him last year, you know, on this in the same show, March 30 last year. And what a joke that was, the 1.8 million hits that people hit him on the reverse run, when the whole secondary of SC was nothing but a bunch of guys or walk-ons filling in so they wouldn't get a very thin secondary group of people injured. And people kept talking about that. Did you see this? Did you see that? It almost, and you know, it's like this. It's almost like it's a drug of a sort, just screwing up. On this kind of deal, he didn't go to class again. If you don't go to class in L.A., you ain't going to go to class in San Diego. If you don't work hard in L.A., you ain't going to work hard in San Francisco. It's the same old thing. And his level of competition in high school helped make him a star. And then when he came out with a statement a year ago that, you know, you got to see all my moves. You haven't seen my moves yet. It's almost an insult to the rest of the football team, their moves. It's an old game, 147 years old. And why does he have to invent something by doing the twist and the chubby checker dance in the backfield? So I'm glad he's gone. And, you know, but don't forget, you know, what happens in recruiting. It's like this. Always remember the names. I'm not knocking the guys, but just things don't work out because of numbers. Luther Brown, Whitney Lewis, Jeff Schweiger, Antoine Perez, all these guys were poster boys on the USA Today All-American football team. But then you got 1 year, Rivers and Byers, great guys, great Trojans, great NFL players. So, you know, like 2 out of 3 make it when they're elite, and 1 out of 3 just disappear. I remember reading an Athlon thing. Do you know that 60 of the top 67 guys on Athlon magazine of 3 or 4 years ago, their top 67 recruits, 26 have been incarcerated. And I don't mean in the locker room. And it's just amazing what happens in life in our day-to-day. So.
Yeah, it's a different world out there now. So the kids have a lot of different levels they can succeed on, but also fail. So you root for them and you want to see the best, but obviously it hasn't worked out that way for Dylan Baxter. But let's jump into the list. And I think we'll go in reverse order, how you do your rankings, and you have like between 2 and 5+ stars. And I guess we'll start off with the offensive lineman from Santa Monica, Chad Wheeler.
I'll start off, and before that, I'm going to spend a few minutes telling the audience how I evaluate players.
Okay, good.
The number one thing, and then I'll go to Wheeler. The number one thing I look for always is speed, one, and level of competition, two. It doesn't matter how well you know your playbook or how big a quote-unquote heart you have. You got to have speed for the position, and you got to be graded, or as best one can, on the level of competition. Number two, you know, a colloquialism that I hate in football recruiting is when a coach says we filled our needs. First of all, the great programs never fill your need, because the better they are, the earlier they go. And you got to keep filling up every need. You never have enough. Rodriguez made a little bit of a statement, the new coach at Arizona, I guess, and he made a statement after recruiting, we fill some of our needs. And that was sort of, that really got me, because he's right. You never fill your needs. I remember Carl Durrell of UCLA standing up and saying, well, we feel there are needs, and what he had to do, he needed to get out of town like Neuhauser did. But anyway, so, you know, the need word only means, and I wrote this out to make sure I say it right, because I've thought about this a lot and always used it. A need is your worth to the team's need. For instance, like when Khalil goes, and possibly next year, Graf, when they go, who replaces them? A great player. But don't forget, Khalil is in his fourth year, and he goes to the NFL. Graf now enters his fourth year, and hopefully he stays five. Who would fill that tandem of the 211 USC offensive line? Any one of the guys that they're being recruited, any one of the redshirt freshmen, any one of the true freshmen that played. But it took Khalil and Graf two or three years, about two and a half for Khalil and three because of the nagging injuries for Graf, to be great players. And I think Graf's a great player. I had said about him, I remember that a year before, his line coach said in the newspaper on one of these reports that he was the best technical lineman I've ever seen. So moving on to another thing. Now, you know, when you're talking about football players, is a thing I hate to say when you evaluate a wide receiver, DB, or running back, when somebody says, well, he doesn't block very well. Well, come on, we're all in high school or all in a conference or in a school with a great player. I mean, you only got three or four coaches out there, maybe in West Texas or the Inland Empire in California or Central California in the Clovis area where they pay coaches $100,000 to be assistants. Maybe you can teach a guy blocking, but you don't want to get that guy hurt. And so the blocking will come. So I never grade on blocking. I use the word willing. Just go get your body in front of somebody, give it up for the team to dive for a loose ball on the ground. So I have a grade for that. Now, the way I grade is I take a player and look at him, and then I have, a lot, for instance, wide receivers have 13 venues within a wide receivers evaluation program. So I take those and I go from 0 to 5, and I grade a guy like that. And 0 to 5 is 5 being the best. And then there's what I call a sport point, meaning if the guy's incredible what he does, that can go for the highest I can get to is 5.1. Well, 5 is perfect, but a 5.1 is 5.10 is the highest rated. And a few of the Trojans I have rated for in this recruiting class because they're just above and beyond what they do on a football field. Just they're super elite. So, for instance, in grading a guy a 5, I might move him to a 5.1 and give him 1/10 of an extra point for, say, a guy, an offensive lineman, blocks well on the first level, then the second level, and instead of just being happy that he did a hell of a job, then he goes and looks to see if he can pick up and help the back get downfield. So with all that said, I'm going to get into my evaluation of this year's 2012 USC football recruiting class. Wheeler is a guy that's probably the biggest mystic to me because there was hardly any film or tape. I talked to three or four coaches, and I'm very close to two of the coaches in Santa Monica, at Santa Monica City College. And, you know, being local, they saw him play a lot. All I know, he's got hurt his senior year. He's one of the few guys I don't know much about that. A great student, very good feet, a very good athlete for the position. When I know nothing about the actual playing of a player and I hear good things, I just say a 2.0. In time, you know, a couple years from now, I'll be able to get a better evaluation like anybody will. Then I move up. So he's a 2.0, but that doesn't mean he's bad. It's just that that's the starting point for evaluation.
Okay, and then I guess we'll go the next guy you had rated was Devontae Wilson. So he's really, he came from the other recruiting class, but then gray shirted.
And bottom line, though, you're recruiting, he was in the other recruiting class, so evaluated him last year, and I gave him a 3.0, and he stayed, he took the test, he enrolled in over and over, finally got qualified for USC, which isn't easy nowadays, and he came into school, but your recruiting class and signing class is one thing. I always make this term, your clock class, C-L-O-C-K. When you enroll, then it's 5 to get 4, 5 to get 4 to get 3, 3 to get 2 in terms of eligibility. So his clock, he's a tough guy, he's a hard worker, was dying to be a Trojan. He took that test, he could have got into other schools, I think. And he's a grit guy and really needed, especially for this spring ball, who's going to work hard and play at probably a defensive tackle. I don't see him as a nose tackle, but he'll probably learn with Coach O. He'll probably learn both places. So that's a good. He's dying to be an SC player. He was highly rated out of high school. And a 3 is a good score. And that means you have a good potential ahead of you. A 3-5 is better. A 4 is better. A 4-1 is better than a 4. And I'll get onto that as we go along.
Okay. Next up is the transfer from Florida, who is a local Southern California kid. Josh Shaw, he's wearing number 26 out there. We've seen him in these offseason workouts. Looks like a really, he's playing corner, Lanny. He looks really big, like a great size kid.
Yeah, and you know, the amazing thing about the great trivia question is he threw for 2,800 yards as a quarterback in high school in one season. That's an amazing stat. A lot of people don't know that. That might be a guy that might end up in a Wildcat situation once in a while as a surprise by Kiffin and his staff. You know, he's not real fast. If he played the corner, he'd have to play a boundary corner. But he's also the insurance. I think he'll end up at safety because after this year, Wright's 2-2. Bowman's 2-2 starting this year. So going into the 2013 season, you have two fifth-year guys in Wright and Bowman. The only other guy you would have out there is possibly Shelton, who can play the corner and safety. Usually safeties can't play corner. A lot of corners can't play safety if they're tall enough. So Shaw's, you know, he does some amazing things athletically. He had some problems, not bad problems, but actual football problems. You know, he had a couple years where he was beat up a little bit, missed a year, played one game the other year. So when he goes in, if he has to, I don't know if he's been cleared to play yet. It's 3-3 or 3-2. He hasn't been cleared by the NCAA.
Yeah, he's petitioning to try and get the hardship or whatever.
So whatever it is, I see him ending up as a safety, especially the Trojans need for safeties at both positions after this season, and with a 15 limit and then possibly able to bring in 18 or something, you know, they can't go get 5 safeties or 4 safeties. They got to maybe offer one more true safety and maybe work Sean there eventually.
Okay.
I like him in his grade. I graded him as a 315.
315. Okay. Next up on your list, we're going from lowest to highest grades in this recruiting class, is out of Mission Viejo, Jaleel Pinner, who's coming in most likely at a fullback. I got to see him a couple times out there, Lanny. What did you think of him?
I've seen him play a lot. All those Orange County TV games, and actually saw him in person as a junior. Yeah, he's a very good football player. He's sort of round. His face is round. His body's not round fat. He's just broad.
It's a great description. He is kind of round.
Yeah, he's kind of round, yeah. And he runs hard. I mean, I think he's a lot better runner than with the ball in his hands. He can pack it pretty well, and he can take those 3 yarders and drive him into 8. Obviously, he's a good blocker. Seen him do that, and I don't bring up blocking much, but that was one of his functions. Talked to him and a very good football staff in high school. He can catch the ball. He's a really good get, especially with the need of both backfield positions behind the quarterback, if there is 2 backs at one time on the field or even 1, the depth thing. But he's going to play right now, I think, because, you know, the lack of numbers and the fact, even though he is a true freshman, he's very mature for a true freshman as far as football goes, though. So I look for him, and I gave him a very decent grade. I graded him as a 3.54, and that comes out to a 3+. And always a 3+, like anything from 5.0 to 0.99, you have a plus after it. I mean, you're really close to being a really good player. He will be a really good player in a year or two. I like him a lot.
All right. Let's go to next one. He was the second switch out of Inglewood High School, Davion Shelton, the defensive back there. What do you think about
Davion? Well, Shelton's a 3+, and I had the score 3.86. And remember, 50 to 0.99 is a plus. And that's a guy that's really close to being really good. When he starts nailing time, I don't know what they're going to do with him. I believe they might be able to afford a redshirt year if there's not a serious injury because of all the corners. And I don't think that SC would want to waste a year by just having him play 25 or 30 plays in against the Washington State if we're beating them real bad or something like that. He's really athletic. He's fast. He's a legit 4-5. Could never find a track and field time on him, so he's at least a legit 4-5. He's got length. He's got great feet. And he can cover, but he's also one of those few guys that can play both safety, not strong, but free, and both corners. And would probably be a heck of a boundary or field corner eventually. And I look for him if there's no injuries early, like with Roby and Harris and Brown and all those guys, possibly corner and Seymour coming in. I think that he might be a redshirt, but he's going to be a good player. And my grade was really high on him, and he's 3+, and I graded him a 3.86.
Can you, you've mentioned this a couple different times, different types of corners, maybe, you know, the boundary corners. Can you describe what the differences are there?
Yeah, the boundary corner is usually a shorter guy with not the longer legs, and he's not a sprinter type, even though he might be a fast track guy, but not as fast as the field corner. The field corner is the two-thirds of the field usually open away from the tight side of the field, meaning the three stripes, the one in the middle, one to anybody's left and anybody's right. And say the ball's on the right and you're looking towards the peristyle end of the Coliseum, you know, the boundary corner would be facing you from his left, the tight side of the field. That's what it is. The field corner is the guy is usually the high jumper with the sprinter, the 400-meter guy, the long jumper, or the basketball dunker with good feet and 4.45 speed. Boundary corners can run 4.55 and still be highly effective. There's an army of them in the NFL. And they're usually an older corner, usually in the NFL, that get moved over there because of all the hits. You know, the guy in his seventh year, they get away from being the field corner and move to the tight side because they don't have that much of the field to cover. Only behind them and always 20 to 25 feet less on the quick outs and those kind of things.
Okay, let's move up the list. The next one is a JC defensive lineman, Morgan Breslin. Really interesting recruiting story from him when UCLA hired Jim Mora Jr. There was a lot of talk about UCLA taking back recruiting and all this recruiting momentum. And kind of behind the scenes, Morgan Breslin had a ninja-type stealth official visit to USC and switched his commitment, and then a day or two later ended up signing with USC as an early enrollee there. What are your thoughts on Morgan Breslin?
He's like you set his hair on fire, and then you set his chest on fire and his knees on fire. It's unbelievable. The motor's incredible. You know, I used to live in the area when I was with Oakland up north and professional, and he just plays with a high motor. I actually think that he'd be an outstanding middle backer. If SC doesn't come up with one that's dominating, which they haven't yet. They got guys playing there. But that guy would be the guy because he has no fear of taking on a double team. He doesn't let the pile push him. He pushes the pile. He runs. He's active. He gets up off the ground and makes plays when he's blocked down. He creates havoc. There's three havoc guys in this recruiting class, and he's the first one that I'll mention, that they get in the backfield and just create, I mean, literally create havoc. He can play the weak side end, and I look for him to be a hybrid type player. They will find places for, there's two people on this roster, actually three on the USC roster next season that could be hybrid players on defense, and he would be one of the three. He runs, he's legitimate 4-5, and he never stops. He'll get a lot of sacks, but then again, it's level competition. Even though his league was the third best junior college league, community college league in the nation last year, still level of competition, but different than other guys who get through in pass rush. He'll attempt to go through the left tackle or right tackle. He can get through those guys, not just with his feet. He's got probably natural strength. He's really good, a forward lean guy, quick hands, picks balls off and drop off. He's just a football player. And that's all I can say. I rate him very high. I gave him
4.0?
Yeah, 4.17.
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah.
Yeah, 4.17. And that's a heck of a grade for a junior college transfer. And he's a 4 because he didn't hit the 50 to 99 slot. But I bet you this time next year, I have a gut feeling that he'll be a 5 in his last year. He's 3 to get 2, and they're going to get him on the field. And I would like to see them actually, if they don't have great performances at the middle backer, I'd like to see him at middle backer. That's how good he is. I mean, he's like Pollard. He's the only other guy in that football team that can play linebacker, I think, right now, that can stick his head between the tackles in the middle and make unbelievable plays. So I said that about Pollard 2 years ago in the same recruiting story that I'm doing tonight on the recruiting service 2 years ago. And look what's happening. We redshirted and my wishes came through. I remember asking Pollard, Ryan asked me, what do you think, what number do you give Pollard? And I said a 7. Right now, I really want to give Breslin a 6. He's that good.
Wow, okay. Well, from one JC player to another, moving up the latter, Gerald Bowman out of Pierce College, who was trying to sign early, wanted to get in early, did not. So he'll be arriving this summer and be with the team in the fall. He's been out there for a few of the offseason workouts, though, coming in. He's really excited about being a USC Trojan. What do you think about Gerald Bowman?
He's from Philadelphia. He's 2 to get 2, double transfer type guy. And he's an insatiable hitter with good coverage skills. he's the other strong safety. I was trying to remember 5 minutes ago and talked about, like, you know, playing, you've got to create depth, especially with so many guys going from the secondary, I believe six this year. He's tough. He can cover. I mean, you're going to see him when he's on the field knock a bunch of tight ends coming across the middle on their ass. No other way to say it. Gluteus Maximus, that'll be better. And then he can cover the out. He can run deep. He's legit 4.5, 1, 4.4, 4.4, 4.9 type guy. Plays with a motor. He's a lot like Breslin. A lot of people thought those two guys were the two best in the country. Whether they are or not, they're sure two of the very elite 4 or 5 JC guys in the country. Bowman is a big-time get, as the same thing with Breslin. I rate him a little higher because I saw him play in person a lot at Pierce Junior College. I saw him against Valley. I saw him against Canyons. I go to those games. They're easy. I love to do that. I go with my old high school buddies from actually 55, 58 years ago. We go to football games on Friday night, and we hit the JC games sometime. So I know a lot about Bowman, big-time player, and I gave him the score, 4.24, and he's a 4, but like Breslin, he'll be a 5 early next season. I mean, if he doesn't get hurt, naturally, that's always what you don't want to see, but he's a big-time player.
Okay, let's move up. We're going to a high school player now, Nelson Aguilar. This is a guy that Rivals ranks as a 5-star kid, and you have him as a 4. I think I'm not sure what the other services kind of rank Nelson Aguilar, but kid out of Florida, looks like he could play wide receiver or running back. What are your thoughts on
him? Yeah, we rated him, myself, and I rated him as one of the top receivers in the country. He's really high up in the list. He can do everything you need from a wide receiver. And, you know, he's a fly sweep guy in football, and you can run yourself to death and into losses like Oregon State did with the other Rodgers guy that everybody expected a fly sweep after Jaquez ran it for years and ended up being a minus for them at Oregon State. But they'll run some fly sweeps with him. They'll put him a tailback a few times, I would imagine. He'll pop some. He can run. He can catch. He's got magic. He's got a great vertical when the ball's in the air. He has magic. And he just comes up with plays you shouldn't make. He's got great hands. He's a soft-handed catcher, runs precise routes. He comes from a heck of a good football area. All the level of competition is really tough there. So when you succeed in the area, the region that he's in, you're really good. Not just because it's Florida, because even Florida has some regions that aren't not very powerful in football. You know, smaller schools and things like that with just a few good athletes. But he's got magic. He's a game breaker. He's the type of guy who want to punt back. He's the type of guy that when four people go up for the ball and it's tipped in the air and it looks like it's going to hit the ground, that he'll recover, pick it off in the air, and go 30 after it was originally thrown to him. Big-time player. Probably a heck of a kickoff return guy on the college level also. Big-time. It's a big-time player. National player.
And you have him as a 4.4?
4.38. Yeah.
Or 4.46, it looks like. 4.38.
Yeah, 4.38. So he's a 4. He's one of those guys who will work his way up the charts. And I look for him to get, because of his athleticism, not a redshirt year, some playing time this year. And I think maybe he might, you know, break into the 4 or 5th spot in the rotation if injuries occur. But I think they'll get him on the field. I just have that feeling. He's too good. I've always said the farther away, the sooner they should play. That's a way of not.
You don't want them to get homesick. That happened with Brian Cushing, I think, at Pete Carroll.
A lot of guys. Yeah. I mean, it happens, you know. And I always remember when I was recruiting and coordinated a lot of colleges. The first thing I did is always go to make a deal with one of the co-eds. Say, why don't you take this guy out, make him cake, take him to a movie, and here's money. I would give him money to make him feel at home, you know, that type of thing. I've got to do other things too. But anyway, I'll get on to the next guy. But yeah, Aguilar, 4.38, is a 4 for sure, and ready for the next guy.
Okay, so we're going to stick with wide receivers. Let's go to a local kid from Carson High School, Darius Rogers. I got to see a whole lot of his games. What do you think about Darius?
I saw a whole lot of his games too, like 3 years worth. He's a magic guy, even more magic than Aguilar. He's a guy, you know, very similar in the recruiting cycle this year in the West. Great receivers on the West Coast, probably the best year in 25 years. This is incredible. There was 3 guys that stood out to me in terms of what they can do. I'm just talking about California, Oregon, and Washington. One was Lawler. One was Jordan Payton, who would be 3rd. Lawler first, and tied for 1st with Rogers. Those 2 guys had so much magic going in there and separation when they run after the catch. They just, they're like Anthony Carter. Rodgers is a guy that can just separate, make the big plays. You know, he can go in traffic and catch the ball. He's a fierce competitor. He'll learn to be a heck of a blocker. I mean, he's a willing blocker now. Remember, I used the word willing on skill position players. These guys will go for fumbles, team guys, guys will, when they have to crack down on the linebacker, be smart enough not to chop him and get a 15-yard penalty. He's a football player, big time. You know, sort of a legend in the South Bay. And so I gave him one heck of a rating, 4.46, and he's a 4.46, very high rating. You know, those fours, a lot of guys who I've called fours in the last 30, 40 years have played in the NFL.
All right. It's interesting with Rodgers and the next guy on our list, Jalen Cope Fitzpatrick. Both guys, the first time I saw him, first time I saw Darius Rodgers was at like this off-season workout thing. Didn't show up for the first half, was lazy, didn't do anything. And I was like, this kid isn't very good. And then every other time after that I saw him, he was certainly good. I mean, he looked special at times, the way he could go. And the same thing with Jalen Cope Fitzpatrick. He's our next guy, the tight end, the USC tight end from this class. The first time we saw him, I think it was a two-day event at this camp. He dropped every ball that came his way. We couldn't even get like highlight footage of him because. But then after like the middle of the second day, he started making great catches. And every time I've seen him since then, it was good. But it was just funny that some of these guys, you can't just judge by, you know, seeing a guy one time. He could have a bad day.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Rodgers, every time I think of Rodgers and Fitzpatrick, I think of two guys leaping high in the end zone, ready to land on their back, catching a ball. All receivers drop balls. Woods, Jerry Rice, Marquise Lee. I mean, all the guys, Stallworth, the old guys, Lynn Swan. I mean, everybody drops balls. I mean, that's why they're receivers. I mean, there's Golden, that's why they make golden retrievers to go get the balls. You know, I mean, just there's receivers and retrievers. And, you know, how you learn to receive and catch the ball is when you drop the ball, that old drill, you have to go another 100 feet and get the ball. And they become better receivers. Some guys just fall into it and they're just naturals. Rodgers is a natural, and then on to the other guy, Fitzpatrick. He's such a versatile natural. I graded Fitzpatrick 4.51, which he's a 4+. I was telling somebody in the car today, a very, very close friend of mine, that, you know, they're going to have to find, if they redshirt that guy, they got to find a place to put him on the field. Now, you've got the three receivers and Thomas, Telfer, and Grimble coming back for three more years with 3 years of eligibility. You got Paul Mee, who I think will be great, who redshirted last year and such a great athlete that he'll be on the field somewhere this year. You got to get Cope Fitzpatrick on the field. I mean, maybe not this year. You can get away with the redshirt thing because that guy's so good. Whether it's when you play too tight or something, he's got to be a minutes and play player. And because he's that good. He's a blocker. He's physical. He seems to have great football instincts. And, you know, and of course, you know, some guys just have different social calendars in regards to the football. Some guys are loosey-goosey. Other guys are uptight. But, they are all Nick Holtz now, you know, looking like that on the sideline. But, I mean, intense guys. And some guys aren't intense. That doesn't make you... At least a lesser football player, because you yourself, Ryan, said that you watched him and then it was amazing. I like the same guy. They all go through that. I remember that Vince Carter came out. I mean, Anthony Carter from Michigan, who's an all-timer in the NFL, one came out playing soccer right before a football game in the locker room. He's batting ahead. Like, and he was a soccer player also out of Florida. And I said, what the hell is this guy doing? He went out and caught 11 balls for 211 yards and 4 touchdowns, you know, and didn't even catch a pass in the warm-ups. So you never know. Different breed like the offensive line.
Certainly. Well, I wanted to touch on Junior Pomé a little bit because we did get to catch up with him on Tuesday, and he told us that, yeah, the coaches want to put him in at some defensive end packages. He's weighing 252 right now. He definitely put on 20 pounds or so from last year, his redshirt year, but he said he got up to almost 270 pounds at one point. And a lot of times when you're talking about a tight end, once they start getting up above a certain weight, then you're talking about an offensive tackle. Is it interesting that they would mention him as a defensive end as opposed to an offensive tackle, and maybe describe why that would be?
Well, he played a lot of defense in high school, and he actually played corner and hand on the ground. He was all over the place, you know, in that great area. He's in the Inland Empire that day. And the amazing thing about him is that he's just a great athlete. He's probably one of those guys who, you know, usually he came in, I think, at 222 to 225 at SC, but he's one of those guys that can literally play all over the place. He's a guy I see might fool a lot of people, not that they don't think he might be real good, but early. You know, when you talk about Breslin and him being on the possible field at the same time in various packages, I don't know if the Tampa 2 calls for what they can do, but I think they'll find a way to play Breslin and Pomi at times, because even at 260, I think that guy would be a ferocious playmaker on defense, one of those havoc creators. Remember I mentioned earlier that Breslin was one, and Pomi is the other one in that program, and then I'll mention the third guy because he's still on the list of recruits. And but Pomi, it's amazing. Now, if he looks, you know, fat at 265 with a gut and beer belly, naturally that's not right. But I could see him playing at 255, 260. I could see him, you know, I always thought, and a lot of people recruiting him out of high school thought he'd be a big-time tailback, and certainly in the pro offense.
Oh, so, interesting.
Yeah, he's got great feet. Remember, on some of his games last year, he's a guy on national TV in one of those games 2 years ago in high school, but he hurdled the guy, and he was 3 feet, 2 inches off the ground.
Wow.
Running with the ball, hurdled the guy, and he went 21 feet in hurdling the guy in a football suit.
Pretty impressive.
His coaches wrote in the Riverside Press newspaper that they marked it on the field where he took off and saw it on tape. It was their home game. And I thought, that guy jumped 20 feet when I saw him at the game. So he's a big guy from the future of SC, I think. Maybe not this year immediately, because he's got 4 years to get 4 years now. He's a player.
Okay. So Coach Fitzpatrick was the first four plus.
Yeah.
So let's move on to Zach Banner.
Zach Banner is, you know, naturally everybody who's a Trojan follower and lover and fan. Yeah, he's a household name. Zach Banner is a guy that I'll tell you how I end up seeing him in a couple years as the strong side or right tackle. And you know, he's heavy-legged, but he's really good athletically. You know, one thing that he does, he mauls people. Now, some people have said to him, actually in magazines and recruiting services and vocal comments, that, yeah, but he's got to get his pad level down. Let me explain that. They're nuts. He's 6'8 and 3/4 at the worst, maybe 6'9. How do you get a pad level down when the average guy he's playing about is between 5'11 and a half and 6'1. It's like a man taking out a woman. If she's 7 feet and you're 3'8", that's beautiful if she's beautiful. I mean, don't change it. He'll get down. When he faces a 6'7", 262-pound, I could see Banner against a guy named Klimper, who's going to Oregon, Clemente, 6'7", or DeBrucker from Puna, who's going to Oregon. Who's 6'7", and then you watch the pad level. It'll be there. When you're 6'9 and 330 pounds and have great feet and you're nimble, people look, what do you want? He's got it all. He's intelligent. He's from a great family. He's got football genes in him, big-time football genes, and a lot of people have seen him as a left tackle. You know, when he kicks that right leg out or left leg out, there's something about him that makes me think that he's a tight side. I mean, he's a strong side lineman. Not a field tackle. And I'll give you another reason why in a few minutes why I see him playing on the right side with the strong side. Now, he'd probably in some programs be their left tackle. I think he's a right tackle made. He can slide and pass protection. I mean, he's smart enough. He can reach block. He can stop traps, whether it's a short trap or a long trap, with his body length and his strong arms and fast arms and hands. He can get down when he has to. He can engulf you. He eats you up at times. When he gets on you, he clings to you. He's hard to get off. A lot of people, even with hands, even, you know, some of the good high school linemen, Washington's a hell of a football state now, especially in level competition that he plays in. You know, 6'5", 260 defensive lineman, Division I recruits, he plays against them all the time. He mauls them. I mean, he locks on when he's on. He doesn't fall off. The only thing I would say about him, and this will come with level competition, that a lot of people said he doesn't finish enough. Well, how much can you? He goes to the first level, the second level. He makes blocks all over the field. He recovers fumbles. He's a hell of a pass protector. He might have a little problem bending at the waist, even though he's a basketball player. But who doesn't when you're young and at that size? I mean, I'm old and I'm half that size. And I started having, I can remember things when I was 30, let alone 70. But I can remember a lot when I talked to you wonderful people out there. But Banner, just wonderful. I got him at, I believe, a 4.54, 4 plus, and he's just going to get better and better. You know, I had Khalil at a 4.1, and look what happened to him. I was, you know, he got, he was a 4.1 for 2 years and a month, and now he's 7.5. But, yeah, he's a big time. He's my first, guy on the list right under the fives, so he'll be a five eventually. I look for him. One of those three linemen in the offense are going to play this year, I think. The other, everybody else, Wheeler and the other two guys will redshirt. Banner, I don't know. They might have to get him on the field if they get an injury. And by the second half of the season, he might really be good if he plays a strong side. I just don't see him playing left tackle, even though he'd probably be a heck of a left tackle and immediate right tackle at most schools. SC's SC. They can afford to put guys now, even with a 75 scholarship limitation on the field where they want to position them, other than the backfield and receiver thing, which is really good because that's the two positions that I've got to follow. Offensive line is always the key to everything. I guarantee this before I go on to the next person, that if there are five great offensive linemen nationally that want to come to SC next year, regardless if they only get 17 scholarships, SC will give five guys offensive line scholarships, no matter what anybody says, what newspaper writer says they're only going to take two or three. Same thing with running back. If they only have two running backs and they get both of them, Kiffin will take a third. That's what they need. That's what they need immediate help at. If they need Banner to play, or one of those three linemen, they'll play.
Okay. All right. Well, let's move on to one of those other offensive linemen. Crespi High School, Jordan Simmons. Like you said, Zach Banner was the last 4-plus guy. Now everyone else is a 5 or above.
Yeah. Simmons is just this group of SC players. I mean, I'm not knocking the other groups. There were so many wonderful people in those groups. Like Zach Heber and the guys like that, Hancock. But so many wonderful people. Barkley, who's there now, all those guys now on the line, Khalil. But this group of people sort of remind me of this freshman recruiting class of, and the two JUCO kids. Of just guys will be great Trojans on the field and off. And Simmons just a great kid. You know, I saw him play as a sophomore at Dorsey, my high school. By the way, they're in the Final Four at the city championship in basketball also this week. I thought I'd throw that in. But anyway, he is just a great kid. Coaches loved him at Dorsey. Coaches loved him at Crespi. And he's just got – what he does is he slide blocks as good as any young guy I've ever seen. That includes all the other great SC linemen, Khalil, Graff. I mean, right now, when he zone blocks, he goes, you know, just like when you in a real estate area and go from zone 2 to zone 3, he goes from zone to zone, head on the swivel, guarding the inside, looking outside, moving the feet, moving the hands. He moves like he's 6'4 and 210 when he goes sideways. He locks on you. He's just a tough, tough dude. He's got not great, but good knee bend and waist bend and pass protection. It'll get better and better and better. And, you know, he's just like a football big puppy. He's just a sweetheart of a guy. And he's vicious on the football field. He's a guy, though, that, you know, people make a mistake when they said, well, he's got to learn how to finish. Again, it's like Banner. Well, what do you mean learn how to finish? You just knock three guys on their ass, and just at levels 1 or 2, and then you're upfield running. I never understand it. Like Banner, he's going to be a great football player, a great Trojan. I see him really as a guard because of what he can do to that position. Just like you need a left tackle, I don't think there could ever be a better guard in years around Los Angeles, and now you're talking about Rochelle and all those guards that have been great Trojans and doing well in the NFL. This guy has got those qualities to be a great, great, great college football player and then a pro. And he's got the demeanor because he's got a great background in him because he's so soft and wonderful, and he answers questions well. And, you know, he broke a lot of hearts when he committed to SC as early as it did. And I love him. He stayed with his commitment. So he's a man of honor, young man of honor.
All right, let's
move on. I grade him as a 5-0 and a 5.
A 5-0 and a 5, okay. Let's go to Leonard Williams out of Daytona Beach, Florida.
He's Breslin's first cousin in lighting your hair on fire. He plays with a passion that's incredible. I know he was in the SC football camp. He just loves to play football. forward lean, gets after the quarterback, makes a, he redirects, he's got phenomenal change of direction, almost like a running back. He's this big old guy that just, you can tell, is going to be so coachable. You know, got the Florida thing going with Coach O and all that kind of stuff, and he's going to have a chance to play early. Because other than Kennard and Horton on the ends, there's no really developed outstanding athlete or football player at end right now. I mean, nobody proven, and I don't think anybody can do what he can bring. I look for him to play often and early because he came here to play. A lot of people say they come to a school to play, but this guy will play. He's going to be one of those monster guys. I mean, I hate to say it, but he's so good he could be like a Jarrell Casey, a three-and-bye-bye guy, because, you know, those bring other three-and-bye-bye guys. Look at all the three-and-bye-bye guys at SC, all but about two in the last 10 years in the NFL still. He's super. He's got range. He can run. He's got better than average backfield speed. I don't care if somebody said he ran a 4.61. I'd believe it. I mean, he can run, and he's got length and coverage, but he redirects, and he meet at the point of attack. Now, he'll take on the offensive lineman. I think there's really a lot of people always say you got to have more strength. He needs strength more. I mean, he's decently strong. He's not real football strong, but he'll still make up for that when he plays. I mean, he'll get blown out a few times or trapped. That's just young guys. But, you know, he's got a great coach, position coach, and got great coaches on defense. If I ever find out who, all of them, how they do. But I know Orgeron's there, and he'll do well, really well. And I gave him a very high grade, a 5.02. He's a 5+. And that's a guy that can play a lot of games, a lot of big-time games, and be a big-time athlete. He'll leave his memory on SC if he stays healthy. Like, again, bringing up the injury thing. He will be remembered as one of the great Trojans, I think, defensively someday.
Okay, next up, one of my favorite guys in this class. Got to go out to Downey High School a few times and see the linebacker, Jabari Ruffin, real cool kid. What do you think of him as a player?
Well, the other thing now, Ryan, I'm going to get mad at you for this. You got to hook up with me and go with me sometime.
I will love to go.
Because I go from now on. We're going to start doing that because I love that.
Oh, yeah, stuff. I went to a lot more games this year, so
yeah,
I would love to
good.
Go.
I go to them all the time. I got my crew, 55 years, the guys that went to junior high and high school, but I'd love to dump them some night for Ryan and go to some of the games with him. I'm a fun guy to sit with at a game. And
I think I would learn a lot.
Yeah. And
I would definitely watch the game differently than I do.
After I learned a lot from you after getting to know your wife. She's so beautiful. But anyway, so I think that Ruffin is a multidimensional. I hate to use the word freak. He's a rare entity, you know, because it makes me think of a dog or something. People say he's a football freak or this guy's that. No, he's a rare, rare young man. He's a multi, if there ever was a multi-positional person on both sides of the ball at 16 positions or 15, it'd be him. He could put on weight and be an offensive tackle. If you see him block as a tight end, or he's the best blocker you could ever watch in high school football from a skill position guy if you watch him close enough to see the blocks he throws. He's active, his hands, he jumps, he hurdles guys when he has the ball, he works hard. He comes on the field to play. He's clean living. He's long. He's rangy. He's fast. In a suit, he's a Marcus Allen type. He carries a suit so well. He has a great stride. He's not lumbering. He's not lumbering. He just gets there. I've always maintained it's when you run fast, it's not whether you're stand up or forward lean. Of course, forward lean usually makes you faster. You can tell when a guy also competes in track and field. But the number one thing is how fast you get there, not how you look getting there. And number two thing is how to pull on the brakes and make cuts and follow people. So even in blocking, even if he doesn't catch the ball, he gets there to help the other receiver or the running back. When he's running with the ball, he knows after the catch. He's a great run after the catch guy. He turns 13 yarders into 23 yarders on a consistent basis. He's a multi-dimensional super football player. It's a wonderful, tough problem to have. I know this has gone through the Trojan coaches' minds, especially senior Kiffin, who I know, his dad, is where do you play this guy? But they'll play him. If they don't have production of middle backer, I don't care what his weight is, they could put him there early in the season. But at the same time, how many middle backers can play strong safety or free safety? He's so versatile. I don't see him. You know, a lot of the recruiting services and things like that say, well, he'd be a great special teams thing. I don't think you want to take too many chances on a Ruffin being on special teams. Somebody cracking. I mean, Maybe other guys, yes, but you get that guy on the field. But he's going to be a great player. Outside linebacker, people think, but I hate to see a change of Bailey going anywhere or Pullard going anywhere, unless Pullard does go inside. Then I could see Ruffin being on the field with those guys. But I don't know. I think he's as good a football player as you possibly can recruit. I have him as a 506. Now, there's a 507. There's another guy I forgot to put on the list that I'm going to get you right now. Star.
I was going to mention that. Scott Star, you don't have him on the list yet.
I had him at a 456. And he's a big-time player. And he is – only thing I see hesitant is him. He doesn't – he's sort of a get-around-the-pile guy. He's not a failure. Remember this time 2 years ago I said that Bruce Dick, a lot of you can remember this, wasn't very good, and he's the type of guy that can get a coach fired, and he got his coach fired. He's not that kind of guy that gets around the powers. He plays hard, he's physical. Perfect's not physical. He's only physical when you're not looking. And somebody in the NFL is going to get non-physical by his wife because they're going to draft him in the third or fourth round and they'll get fired for it. Star's different. Star's a big-time player. He's physical, but he's a sidewinder. He attacks people from the side, which is cool. Takes on a block, tries to get around. He's going to play middle backer. He's got to get a little more forceful inside. I've seen him take on a double team, but I also saw him in the All-Star game, and I also saw him on tapes jump on a guy when he's down on the ground just to be part of a tackle when the guy's already laying on the ground. We don't want him causing some penalties because he can play, he can redirect, he's got a burst, great speed for the position. Eventually people talked about him being a strong outside backer. Right now it looks like to me that he should be a weak outside backer, even though they need people to compete with Dawson at inside linebacker. But if he masters that, you don't see him step in to take the double teams too much. Of course, in the high school level, he gets by a lot of people with speed. But he's tough. He's physical. He also makes plays. He intercepts balls. He creates fumbles. He gets the fumbles. And he's a very high-rated guy. Yeah, mid-fours, four, five, six.
Okay, four-plus guy. Yeah, I was going to mention him. We didn't see him on the list. But there's only two guys left. Let's get to Kevon Seymour, Mir High School out of Pasadena. I got to see him down at the Army All-American Bowl. What do you think of him?
Nobody knows more about him on this podcast than me. I've seen him play literally 12 or 13 times in person.
I've seen him 15 times. No, I'm just kidding. I'm joking.
Yeah, and I've seen him. That's so good. But I've seen him because I know the historian out there for 39 years. He's a physical education teacher. So I go to a lot of mirror games, and for 40 years, my brother owned a big business. His factory was out there. And my cousin and I, we've been to mirror games a couple, but I sat with the principal one night and this historian who has a library at Muir High School. Muir High School really fixed itself up. It's sort of a festive occasion going to a game out there. It's clean, it's very safe, they have great food, and the teachers are there and the bands. But what they do is they don't have very many good linemen. And Seymour, I asked him, I heard he's a great kid, and the principal said to me in all the years, and I went here, and a lady teacher of his was sitting there, 35 years, she never misses a game. She's married, and her husband go to all the games, and she told me he's the finest student I've ever had and the finest young man. 20 minutes later, I asked the historian, he said the same. Of all the great kids, all the way going back, SC's been getting your football players for 84 years now. 84 years, football players have never been going to USC. And all those people at a different time not sitting against is the finest person they've ever had go through their program. Now, his football abilities are rare. I rate him at a 508, and a 510 is perfect. A perfect football player in my eyes right now at his age. They go 9-4 every year, and because they're a 4A instead of a 5A school, they do a smart thing. They play the tough Inland Empire teams in the off season, like Upland and Rancho Cucamonga, and they played him at quarterback half the time, and then corner and safety. He's a five at every. He'd be a five at quarterback if he was at West Virginia. I mean, he can throw a decent ball or run. I've seen him take punts and kickoffs and so smoothly just go 88 yards. Weave to the right, pick the hole, weave to the left, break it, tackle, and gone. I mean, it looks like he's a 4-2 guy with the ball. He's another Marcus Allen with speed. He clocks mid-4-4s, but he can really run in a suit. He can jump great, vertical. And the biggest thing he has is wonderful football instincts on both sides of the ball. Naturally, he would be the consummate free safety, but since it's so much harder to get corners, I look for him to play often as a freshman because he's got football instincts and he can jump and out, he can cover, he can redirect, he can tackle. He's special player. And he's one of the top two guys of this class. And then I look for him to be a great Trojan, an All-American type guy. That's what he's, All-American kid, All-American player, and maybe someday an NFL guy if things go right. He goes to his classes. He's competent. He's early. He's polite. He's efficient. He's the boy next door. That's what he is.
Can you maybe explain the Marcus Allen speed comment you were talking about?
Yeah, the Marcus Allen speed comment is Marcus Allen was never a sprinter in track. Yeah, excuse me for not bringing that up. And Marcus Allen was competed in other sports, baseball and so forth, in high school. And people in high school got to try to clock him. But, you know, when he was coming up, the 40s were new. 60-yard dashes were the thing. And I believe in 60s and not 40s because by the time you take a pitch out, you've already run 20 yards, and especially these wide-open offenses. But he just put a suit on, and I went to a high school game when he was a junior, and a coach was scouting him from Morse High, M-O-R-S-E, in San Diego, and I was sitting with a guy, he's a friend of mine, and another guy named Bill Johnson, who's another friend of mine, still coaching high school football. He said, the guy is amazing. Look at him. He's a fullback and linebacker. That's what he was in high school, and quarterback, like his older brother. And he runs faster than our sprinters. And our sprinters, we have three guys in here that run 9.7. Well, 9.7 is like a 4.48. 9.7 is like a 10.600 meters. And nobody runs a 10.600 meters. At the very worst, even with the flu, you run 4.48, 4.46. Allen would put a suit on and sometimes beat guys. They told me stories who'd be working out for track coming off their spring football workout. Well, that's what Seymour has, that kind of speed. But Seymour's clocked in the high 10s in the 100 meters. I mean, if he concentrated in track, he'd be a 10.4, 10.5, 4.38 guy. But Seymour is very, very special. So on the Marcus Allen thing, that's what I mean. He can carry a suit. It's a rare thing. You know, people use the term, which is a cartoon, football speed. No such thing. Some of these writers, these pundits, say, well, he's got deceptive long speed. No, you either have speed. It's like a little bit pregnant. It's like a checks in the mail type crap, you know. I mean, you either have speed or you don't have it. And the longer you run, the further the speed dictates. And Seymour can go 90 as fast as he can go 30.
Ah, okay. We got one guy left in this class. The highest rated player from Landon Julius for USC class of 2012. CIF champion, Santa Margarita High School, Max Turek.
He's the highest rated player I've ever rated in my life. I rated, when I recruited Rulon Jones, a 4.4, and he played in the NFL as a defensive end for 12 years. Cleveland Green played in the NFL as an offensive tackle, and he ran 4.6, 4.7. I thought he was the greatest player. You know, Green's the guy who ended Mark Gastineau's night on national TV for you older people to remember when Gastineau was showing off to the world. I helped create that honorary guy, and he's a wonderful guy. But anyway, he was fast in the football suit. But Max Turek is my consummate offensive lineman out of high school. You know, I loved Kid Will, and I really loved Graf, and all the guys, and I remember all the great Trojans of the 70s and the 80s, all the guys that played in the NFL. You know, right now there's 50-plus active SC football players in the NFL, over a whole team. So USC should take them, because USC guys should graduate and just be the NFL team here. But anyway, Turek is unbelievable. What he does on the football field is incomprehensible to most linemen. Incomprehensible to fullbacks if they're lazy. Incomprehensible to most coaches. You get behind the guy when he catches a ball and you look at him, he looks like he's in the high hurdles. He runs like a track guy in a football suit. He's a lineman. He's a tackle. He's a guard. He's a center, whatever they put him at. He's in anything. I mean, he gets out. There's no such thing as levels with him. He levels everything in front of him. Moving. He can pull. He can adjust. He can block down. He can kick out, meaning, you know, when you have to open a hole and a guy's going to make a cut inside. He can redirect. I've seen him fall on his butt four or five times and get up in a drop and go block two guys. Amazing for a guy around 285 to 295 pounds that can do that. He's lithe or lithe, L-I-T-H-E, however the word's pronounced. He's long. He can get short and block people underneath him short. He can take the insides out of a, say, a 6'2", 290 low base defensive lineman. He can run. He can turn up. He can pull. He competes. I mean, you know, he's got a football mean in him. And I think people might misunderstand. It's not like Nelson, the basketball mean at UCLA. I hate to bring that up, but he's not that kind of mean. He's a good mean. He just plays hard. He creates holes. He blocks. He's the guy that every tailback wants to buy a malt or a milkshake for after practice. He makes running backs as a pass protector. He's your left tackle. I'd be disappointed if he isn't the left tackle at SC for at least the 2013, 14, and 15 seasons. And even possibly this year. I know they're going to try a lot of people there. And he's smart. He's got great football instincts. And that's a rare thing to have a guy be a freshman at SC and play left tackle out of high school. But if ever a guy could. Of course, a strength thing with like all young guys, and coaches would know Nancy more than I do on this. But if he has, he almost is like a Tyrone Smith type guy. He's got natural strength. Don't make him too heavy. And look, you know, we were always worried, myself and a couple of good Trojan friends, that maybe they'd put too much weight on Tyrone Smith. I mean, look what he did right in his fourth year out of high school as a rookie. Turek's that kind of guy. I mean, I think that much of him. I mean, he's the consummate offensive lineman. He could play any of the five positions, but most people who are All-Americans can't play left tackle on the offensive line. He can play anywhere. Early and often, I see him the one guy who, if there's an emergency, could play right now over Banner and Simmons early. But boy, I'll tell you, to keep him around at SC is going to be an honor for SC football fans to watch him for years. It's going to be a treat. He's super.
Wow, Lanny. Where'd the hour go? We went an hour. I'm glad it was a small recruiting class. Otherwise, I don't know if we would have got through everybody.
I hope you would have stayed. It'd been more fun.
It's definitely cool. We're not on time limit or anything, but it's usually a good idea. But here, go ahead, Lanny.
Yeah, I'm going to explain them. Anytime you want to check in with me to see all my thoughts on USC and more, go to Lanny, LANNIE, Julius, JULIAS.com, or follow me on Twitter @ Lanny, LANNIE, Julius, JULIAS, and that's how you spell it. I hope to hear from you. I'm going to keep doing this as long as I live. I love it. Love talking to all you wonderful Trojan people.
Well, thanks very much for joining us, Lanny. We really appreciate it. And everyone, Lanny's on the internet now. You can go check him out. I know I get a lot of tweets about, what does Lanny think about this, or emails about that. So now you can tweet Lanny directly. You can follow me @ Inside Troy. I will post this. As soon as it goes up, I'll post it on Twitter, and you can follow. I'll put Lanny's Twitter handle on there as well, and I'll put a link to his website so you guys can all check it out. But really appreciate Lanny coming in and sharing all his insights. And if you want to look about what he said previous recruiting classes, he's been our podcast for the last several years. Just go to the archive page, past episodes, and you can see. Just search for Lanny Julius. You can see all of his shows there. But thanks, everyone, for tuning into this very special edition of the Peristyle Podcast, our Trojan Blast with Lanny Julius. We'll talk to you again on Monday with our regular Peristyle Podcast. Stay tuned for that.
You've been listening to the Peristyle Podcast, presented by USCFootball.com. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest news on Trojan football and recruiting. And don't forget, you can automatically download the podcast directly to your iPod or MP3 player for free. Just click the iTunes link on peristylepodcast.com or search for Peristyle Podcast at the iTunes Music Store.